Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, proud founder of the nonprofit MyOBMD.org, the website dedicated 100% to your health. At MyOBMD.org, you'll find articles related to women's health on all aspects. Everything you read, see, and hear on MyOBMD.org originated with a physician who treats ladies just like you. You can trust the information you find on MyOBMD.org. We will never let you down. We provide accurate, real-world information. MyOBMD.org. So, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. Today, we're going to be diving into a mental health topic. And the mental health topic I want to talk about is depression. We are going to take a deep dive into depression. Exactly what is it? How is it diagnosed? How can you differentiate it from other things that may appear like depression, but is not actually depression? And of course, what are the treatment options? So we are going to be talking about this mental health topic, depression. Stay tuned. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years' experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, myobmd.org. Welcome back to Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith. So let's dive into this topic of depression. So depression is a depressed mood and several other signs that last for more than 2 weeks. And I want to differentiate first before we actually get deeply into the topic of depression and clinical depression. I want to differentiate the difference between just feeling down or even feeling depressed versus a diagnosis of clinical depression. We know that as humans, we have a gamut of emotions, and these emotions are normal, right? We experience sadness, we experience joy, we experience anxiety, we experience grief. These rainbow of emotions are what makes us human. And so we know that these are all normal experiences as human beings that we're going to have through different stages of life and through different events of life. So not every sadness and not every grief will be classified as clinical depression. Clinical depression is different. Clinical depression is a condition where you're feeling down, you're feeling hopeless, you are losing interest in your everyday activities. And when I say you're losing interest in your everyday activities, I'm not just talking about, I don't feel like working out today. No, I'm talking about you may not feel like taking a shower today. You may not feel like brushing your teeth. You may not feel like cooking. You are not doing the things that we do, what we refer to as our activity of daily living. You're not taking part in pleasurable activities and you're not taking part in just routine basic activities. So when you lose interest in those activities, especially the routine basic activities, that's concerning, especially if it lasts for more than 2 weeks. Another sign of depression is that you're just losing you're having a change in appetite, whether it's decreased or it may be increased, right? Because food, let's face it, food for some of us can become a medication where we're medicating our illness with food. And so sometimes if you're experiencing depression, you may find that you're just not having a taste for food anymore. You're losing interest in eating, or you may find that your appetite has truly picked up. You're just kind of eating everything. And either one of these are part of the spectrum of clinical depression. Another change that you may see occurring is a change in your sleep pattern. So more often than not, ladies or persons who are experiencing depression will have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep. However, you may also experience excessive sleep. So if you find that you're just sleeping all the time, you just don't want to get out of bed, this is also a concerning that it may be some indication of something more serious going on. Fatigue. Of course, if you're working really hard and you're overwhelmed with work or you just have a lot on your plate, that may create some of the symptoms we're talking about, where you're just feeling down, you're not taking pleasure in things because you're just burnt out. So being burnt out, and you may have some of the symptoms that you would experience if you had clinical depression, but they're treated differently. Of course, if you're burnt out, the treatment for that is to reduce your workload, take a break, give yourself and your body and your mind some time to recover and recuperate, and then reevaluating your work balance, your work-life balance, to prevent recurrence of that episode. So if you're feeling fatigued or having low energy, of course, that can be a sign of depression, but you want to assess your situation and have an honest conversation with yourself to determine if this is truly the case, or can the fatigue or low energy be explained by some other means. Difficulty concentrating. So if your mind keeps going to a point of fear or something negative that is preventing you from concentrating on a task, that is concerning, and so that's something that you wanna pay attention to. Feelings of just hopelessness or just feeling worthless, feeling like you're less than. That's definitely concerning if you're feeling that you're somehow not valued. That's a concern. Another one that some of us may not recognize, it's what's called psychomotor agitation or psychomotor retardation. And what that means is that psychomotor, so your psyche, your brain, is telling your body to do something repeatedly. So that may be pacing, that may be toe tapping. There is some kind of repetitive physical activity that you're doing that serves no purpose. And so this is also another sign of potentially that you may be experiencing depression, or you may have slowing of your speech, your thought, or your movements, where you're just finding that you're not processing information like you used to, or you're sluggish in your movements, even though you're well rested, or you've noticed a change in your thought pattern. And finally, recurrent thoughts of death or suicidality is definitely concerning. And that's a big sign that someone is experiencing clinical depression. And let me pause and say that, at least within the US, if you are feeling hopeless or having thoughts of suicide, you can dial 988 and be connected to the Suicide and Crisis Helpline. And they are a 24/7 service. They have counselors on hand that would be able to help you personally or refer you for additional treatment. But just so you're aware, if you are feeling down and having thoughts of suicidality or hurting yourself, or you know someone that are having these very disturbing thoughts, please know you can always call 988 for help in that regard. So the diagnosis of clinical depression, as a physician, you know, we look for folks that are having at least 5 of these symptoms that I've just described over a 2-week period or more. And so it's something that you would definitely want to speak to your doctor about. I would discourage you from simply trying to tackle this on your own. And we're going to get into why it's important for you to see your doctor, because it's what we know is that for clinical depression, the cause is really not something that we are able to control. We know that for clinical depression, the cause is linked to a release of neurochemicals in our brain. And we find that persons who are experiencing depression, that these neurochemicals, they are not in the same range as they are for those folks who are not experiencing clinical depression. And so our body is such a delicate machinery. If anything is off, we can feel it in so many different ways. It's not just something physically that's manifested. It can be manifested through our emotion as well. And so the basis of clinical depression is that there is a chemical imbalance that is occurring in our brain that's causing these emotions. And so it's something that is medically treated and is not simply treated with just counseling. Now, counseling is of value. However, for clinical depression, especially major clinical depression, counseling, the best treatment is counseling in addition to medication. So, who is at risk for depression? We know that there are certain folks who seem to have a higher risk of depression than the general population. So, for instance, women. For some reason, women are diagnosed more with depression than men. We're not sure why. We're not sure if this is reflecting some type of bias on the part of the medical professional, or this is due to an actual organic chemical imbalance that is occurring more frequently in women. But we really do not know the answer to that question. But we do know that women are twice as likely to be diagnosed with depression compared with men. And that's significant. That is significant. That's something to always keep in mind. Of course, men can be depressed as well. The family history. If you have a family if you know of family members, especially if you have what's called first degree relatives. So first degree relative are your parents or your siblings. So if you have your parents or your siblings that you know have experienced clinical depression, unfortunately, that puts you at a higher risk of experiencing that as well. Now, that doesn't mean that that will definitely occur, but it is something to consider. A personal history of depression is also another risk factor. So if you've previously been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, or any other mental health illnesses, certainly that indicates that your risk of being diagnosed with clinical depression is greater than the average person who does not have that history. Abuse of drugs, right? Abuse of drugs is another factor. So folks that are using drugs or alcohol inappropriately have a higher risk of depression. And the final factor is adversity. Adversity can be a setup for depression. And so if you've experienced a traumatic life event or stressful events in your life, especially over the previous year, such as marital problems, you could be having socioeconomic problems, health challenges for yourself or for your loved ones. So these are all adverse experiences. And unfortunately, yes, these adverse experiences does place us at a greater risk of experiencing clinical depression. One of the other things that we haven't talked about is how food may affect your mood. And we actually have an article on MyOBMD that's fully dedicated to that, that sometimes our food choices can actually influence our mood and may be associated with depression as well. So certainly clinical depression is something that is multifaceted. It's something that we do have some understanding of, but we don't have full understanding of clinical depression at this moment in time. And so research is still ongoing and is very much needed. If you see your doctor and your doctor says, hey, you know, based on what you've told me or based on the screening test that we've done, I feel that you have a clinical depression. The next step is to determine why that is, because that will influence the treatment that's being offered. And yes, I did just say that the clinical depression is based on these imbalance of neurochemicals in our brain. However, there are other instances where you may have some other condition or be taking some medication that may be contributing to your depressive symptoms. So certain medical problems we know are associated with a higher risk of depression. And so if that's the case, you would actually address that medical problem in addition to addressing the depression directly. And in some cases, treating the medical condition that may be causing the depression, you may not need to have any depression medication if the primary cause is treated directly. So some of the medical conditions associated with depression includes endocrine and hormonal disorders. So if your thyroid level is low, especially if it's very low, it can certainly cause depression. Diabetes, vitamin deficiencies, heart disease. Folks with heart disease, especially folks who've had a heart attack, they may show signs of depression. And so that will require a different approach to treatment because, of course, that's if you are experiencing that due to that medical condition, one, you want to treat the medical condition. That's what your doctor will focus on. And two, you may just need to have some education and counseling about the disease process to put some of your fear and anxiety at ease. Infection, especially any infection involving the brain, those can certainly contribute to that imbalance we just talked about and put you at a greater risk of experiencing depression. Certain neurological disorders, such as epilepsy and Parkinson's, those can increase your risk of experiencing depression. And finally, number five is brain tumors. So brain tumors, whether benign or cancerous, and other types of cancers can cause clinical depression. And so that's why it's important for you to go to your doctor, get a thorough history taken, so that if there's a connection between the depression you're experiencing and something else, then that may change the approach to treatment. There are certain medications that are associated with depression. The main culprit are steroids. So steroid hormones such as prednisone, dexamethasone, those can affect our mood. And so if you are on these medicines and experiencing signs of depression, then speak to your doctor. If you're able to stop it or change it, then you may not need any treatment for depression per se, because you had been experiencing it as a side effect of a medication you were taking for another condition. Other medicines that can cause depression symptoms are opioids. Opioids are very strong pain medicines that are provided to you through a prescription only. They are only to be used on a short-term basis, or rather, I should say, they are typically used on a very, very short-term basis to avoid a misuse of the drug. Interferons are medicines that they resemble proteins that are used in our immune system, and that's used for certain immune conditions. So the drug is called interferon, and that can influence depression symptoms. And finally, a group of drug called beta blockers. They're used for things like high blood pressure. They're used to prevent migraines. They're used for stage fright. Sometimes these drugs were thought to increase the risk of developing depression. More recent studies are questioning that, though. More recent studies are saying, hey, maybe these drugs are not the culprit that we thought they were a few years back. But that's just something to kind of keep in mind, that if you're on any of these medications and you're experiencing signs of clinical depression, then you just want to share that with your doctor. You never want to be embarrassed about sharing how you're feeling with your doctor. And then they'll do the full evaluation, and then the two of you will come together and make a plan as to how to go about in treating depression that you're experiencing. It may involve stopping another medicine. It may involve doing something else rather than treating the depression directly if your doctor feels that what you're experiencing is due to another condition. Now, there are certain types of depression or certain other mental health conditions that are similar to depression, but they're not. And so they're treated differently. So some of these are seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder is when you are affected by the season. So folks who are affected with seasonal affective disorder, in the wintertime, they're down. They feel some sadness. They have symptoms of depression that come on during the winter, and it's usually due to diminished sunlight. And so the treatment for that involves artificial light therapy. Your doctor may also add medication to that, but certainly artificial light therapy is part of the treatment for someone who is experiencing seasonal affective disorder. Another condition is called dysthymia, persistent depressive disorder. Now, the name has depressive disorder in it, but what's actually happening in persistent depressive disorder is that you're experiencing this low level of depression. So your symptoms are not severe and you're able to carry on your daily activities, but you're just feeling down and it has persisted and it is not identified with a cause. So you can't identify what you're feeling with a particular traumatic event or an adverse experience that you've had. And so that is something that is similar to depression, may even be treated the same way as depression, but it's a different condition. Another thing that may mimic depression is called complicated grief. That complicated grief is where you have experienced the loss of a loved one and you just are having a very, very hard time getting past that experience to the point where you can regain control of your life and have your life experience the way it was, or in some condition that is reasonable prior to you experiencing that loss. Bipolar disorder is also another condition that may mimic the signs of clinical depression, because the folks that have bipolar disorder, the folks that are diagnosed or experiencing bipolar disorder, they have moments of mania cycled with moments of depression. And so this is why it's so important to have a long-term relationship with a physician, because if you go to a physician and they are seeing you in the moments of depression and they never see you in the moments of mania, or you're not able to share that history with them, then you may actually be misdiagnosed or incorrectly diagnosed as having depression when what you really have when what you're really experiencing is bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder is treated very differently than depression. And in fact, the medicines that we give for treatment of clinical depression can make the symptoms of bipolar disorder worse. And so I cannot stress enough how important it is that you seek the correct medical care so that you can have a proper diagnosis and the proper treatment started. If you are diagnosed with clinical depression, your treatment options are going to fall into one of three categories. You may be treated, depending on the level of severity of what you're experiencing, that will determine the treatment that you're being offered. So for some, you may have lifestyle changes. So for instance, if you find that you're experiencing depression and this is associated with being burnt out or have been in a toxic relationship, then those issues would really truly need to be addressed rather than primarily starting you on a medication, because if that social condition is altered, changed, or removed, you may not necessarily need that medication. Or alternatively, your doctor may say, hey, while you're working on changing this dynamic in your life, let's go ahead and start the medication. And then once this condition has improved, if your symptoms have improved, once the whatever it is that you're experiencing is dealt with, whether that be the work-life imbalance, a toxic relationship, or what have you, your doctor may say, hey, let's start you on a medicine. And then once this condition is now no longer exists, then we can talk about taking you off the medicine. So there are different approaches, or you and your doctor may decide not to start you on the medicine, but rather have you aggressively change your lifestyle or change whatever situation that you're experiencing to the best of your ability before starting you on a medication. The other treatment option of counseling or psychotherapy, right? So you talk to someone, a trained professional. Make sure it is a trained professional, not just talking to your buddies. You want to talk to a trained professional who will help you through the situation, and they will help you to recognize what your triggers are so you can have some avoidance behavior of those triggers. They will help you identify what are some of the things you can do in the moment if you experience a trigger to mitigate that. So together you will both come up with a plan as to how to now navigate life, okay? So that the social triggers are minimized. And of course, the third is medication. Now, I just want to point out that these treatment options are not exclusive. So you don't have to say, oh, I've been diagnosed with depression. I want to treat it with medicine, or I've been diagnosed with depression. I'm going to treat it with counseling. You may very well have a combination of any two or three of these treatment options. And I always feel that no matter what, if you have a condition that is affected by lifestyle, and many, many, many conditions are, then in addition to medication, you also want to try counseling and lifestyle changes. That's just common sense, right? We cannot expect that we're going to receive all that we need through a pill. We're going to receive some of what we need, and we're going to probably receive a lot of what we need, but we should always take the point of view that whatever we can do to mitigate our triggers, mitigate your exposure, whatever you can do to deal with it in a healthy fashion, we want to take advantage of that and not just rely on the medicine. So you're attacking this issue from multiple levels. So this is what we mean by a clinical depression. It's the experience of at least 5 of those symptoms for over a 2-week period. In most cases, it's not associated with any particular grief or loss that you may have experienced. It's something that is occurring just organically on its own. You always want to talk to your doctor about that so you can come together and determine the best treatment approach. Well, we are through with another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I am so grateful to have had your ear for these last 30 minutes. I hope that you have found this helpful. If you have, please make a statement in the comments. Please subscribe to the podcast. And of course, whatever feedback you have, I am happy to hear that. Again, this is Dr. Smith with Straight Talk with My OBMD, and thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.